All right, so we're gonna go ahead and get started. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. All right, so my name is Corey Elijah, and I am a lifelong Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan. Now, I'm sure you guys probably assume that, but I could just be a random guy that's hosting a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle panel. But I promise you, I am a lifelong fan. I can't remember a time where I was not doing like backflips and kicks in my basement or whatnot and trying to order pizza every day for dinner. So today it's going to be a pretty fun panel. I'm going to go through like my panel how I usually do it. So I'm going to just do a brief introduction, then we'll get into some TMNT history. And then towards the end of the panel, I have a special surprise for you guys. So for anybody that can make it all the way to the end, I'm sure, I promise you will not be disappointed. So you can take a guess what that may be, ponder on it throughout the entire panel. There is four chairs, and there is only one guy talking right now. Well, there's five chairs and one guy talking. I know that would be like, I don't know, maybe the best like panel other than their panel. I don't know. Who knows what'll happen? We're just gonna play it by ear. But to give you guys a little rundown of myself, like I said, my name's Corey Elijah, lifelong Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan. My favorite turtle is Donatello. I've always loved like technology, and he kind of fueled me into that path. So working on computers and all of that stuff is because of Donnie. My favorite pizza is sausage and mushroom. I believe you guys need to know that so you know what type of guy I am, you know. Yes, because of me. I will take that credit. Although they're a little older than I am. They turned 35 this year. Let's give them a round of applause for 35 years. I'm not quite 35, but I'm not that far from it, I guess you could say. I'm closer to 35 than I am being a teenager. So we'll take that with a grain of salt. But like I was saying before, I can't remember a time where I wasn't backflipping in my backyard or in my basement sparring with my brother when I probably shouldn't have been, or just, you know, dressing up like a turtle for Halloween, whatever it may be. My favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, let's say like a piece of history is going to be, I have a box of fruit snacks from the 90s that somehow I didn't eat. I still have three packs of those, so that's like my favorite memorabilia that I have held on to. So yes, I guess technically I'm a hoarder, but it is what it is when it comes to TMNT. I have not tried them. Candy does not expire, but I'm one of those types of guys where it's like, well, if I have it still, why taint it, you know? I could try it. People would probably like it on YouTube, but would it be worth it? You know, I'd probably regret it after I ate it. So, I grew up a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. I'm 30, soon to be 31. So literally I can't remember a day without Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in my life. My brother's a little bit older, so I got to get all of his hand-me-down toys and comic books and things like that. That really like fueled me as a kid, as well as that 1990s movie. So that's a little bit about myself. I'm sure you guys are all Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans as well, or at least semi-casual turtle fans that know the main turtles' names and whatnot. For anybody that's like super casual or is in the comic book industry, we like to call it normies, I'm gonna give like a brief history of how this all came together and how after 35 years, we can still bring groups of people together. You can still have like a guy from Wisconsin come down to Chicago and talk about all this cool stuff with you. So it goes way back, way, way back to a year that might seem very long ago, 1981. That's when Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, they finally met each other and they bonded over their love of Jack Kirby. Anybody that's a comic book fan, Jack Kirby, you know, Jack Kirby is legendary. developed so many great characters and even just situation ideas, arcs for the likes of Marvel and DC. Definitely is a legendary character, a legendary artist. And you know, he's had his mark on history as himself outside of just, you know, influencing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So it's cool that, you know, two artists that weren't necessarily, you know, exactly alike were able to bond over just a love of art, which is something I feel is really cool. It's something that I feel is super inspirational, how, you know, you never know who you're gonna meet. Two guys that are, you know, not super young were able to come together and, you know, develop something cool. So in 1983, it got down to the point where they were like, hey, maybe we should try, you know, starting up a studio ourselves. They didn't have much money, so they ended up just getting a loan for like $1,000 and used a lot of their savings to kind of get together, get an apartment where they could live together, and kind of start drafting some different comic books that they were working, that they wanted to work on. So now we're going to jump to 1984. And while they were working on a comic book called Fugitoid, I'm sure if you guys are fans of even like the 2012 Ninja Turtles or the IDW comic books, you guys are super familiar with Fugitoid, a robot. So they were working on a solo project for him. And while they were just taking like a little break, Kevin Eastman was like, hey, let me just draw a funny picture. I'm not sure if you guys have ever saw the photo of like a regular looking turtle with a bandana and a pair of nunchucks. Just like a funny image that he decided to draw. But Peter Laird wouldn't be shown up. He thought it was kind of funny. He was like, hey, maybe I'll take this, I'll tweak it a little bit. And eventually he added three more turtles and added some, you know, some weapons to them to kind of have them all have their own like little feel to them. And from there, it got touched up again by Kevin Eastman. And then he added the infamous Ninja Turtles at the bottom of the photos. And that's where the inception of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles really came from. It's super cool how, like I was saying, two guys that weren't necessarily from the same background loved one individual and how he was able to create just random things and make them make sense and make them work even sometimes when they don't make sense. Was able to bring that together and come up with an idea like Ninja Turtles. So after they had all of that developed, they were like, hey, maybe we should make like a backstory for this. That seems like it would be pretty cool. So since they were kind of also influenced by Frank Miller, you guys aware of Frank Miller, right? Frank Miller, Batman, Daredevil, things like that. Another iconic master artist. So they took inspiration from Daredevil and Ronin. And then they decided to kind of parallel that origin with the origin of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So even if you look back to like how Matt Murdock gets his powers, there's some sort of mutagen, some sort of ooze, we'll just call it because that's what we love to call it, ooze that he encounters. Well, in the original comic, that same kid that we'll say is Matt Murdock, we can't say it is or isn't Matt Murdock, but it's definitely Matt Murdock, was holding four turtles when he encountered this mutagen and then dropped his turtles into the sewer, and eventually they mutated and became the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So there's those parallels with the Marvel Universe, there's the parallels with just, you know, great artists that they admired. So also the other parallels, because sometimes you'll get people that like to argue and they're like, no, it has nothing to do with Daredevil. There's just so many parallels that are like, it's like, well, maybe it's just a coincidence, but they're so close that it's kind of weird to say it's not. Like for instance, Daredevil was trained by the Stick. He was trained by Stick, excuse me. And then the Turtles are trained by Splinter. You know, you definitely can get a Splinter from a Stick. And then Daredevil, he fights the Hand, and our favorite Turtles, they fight the Foot, right? So, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but the parallels are so close. It's like, hey, I could argue with you. It is, it's not, probably until the cows come home. So the names, after they had all that together, so they have, you know, the backstory. The only thing they didn't have for the Turtles was names. And they're Ninja Turtles, so of course, originally they wanted to come up with some sort of Japanese names for the Turtles, but they couldn't come up with any. But by chance, they had a Renaissance book just laying around, kind of like in Secret of the U's when they're telling Kino their names. I was just laying around, and they picked all of the names right from that Italian Renaissance book. So it's pretty cool how even like the inception of the Turtles, how they actually came together. They even used some of that for some of their films, or even in the comic books, some like to kind of put the story forward. So in 1984, they finally published that first issue of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like I was saying, they used a loan of $1,000 and a little bit of the money that they had saved up to get the first 3,000 copies made. They took out an ad in a buyer's guide, you know, just like a guide where anybody that likes to search for comic books, you're gonna pick up a guide. You can do it online nowadays, I guess. Pick up a guide and just put in an ad to say, hey, well, people are here looking for comic books. If I put an ad in here, maybe they'll see our ad and maybe they'll buy our comic. And that's exactly what happened. They sold out super quick. It was one of those things where they're like, oh man, I guess people really like this. So they went ahead, they used that money that they made, they paid back their loan, they did another print of 6,000 copies, and that sold out like hotcakes as well. So after that, they were like, well, maybe we got something here. So they did a big order of 15,000 copies. And that just sold out right away too. So they were onto something. They finally realized like, hey, maybe we can do this for a living. So from there, they come up with a second book, issue number two, and they get 30,000 copies of that printed with the first. And then another 30,000 copies of the first issue as well. So they have one and two back out, 60,000 comics that they're putting out. And that also is just selling like crazy. So it was one of those things where it's super inspirational. And that's why I love telling the story, because just two guys that had no idea, they come up with some goofy characters that, I mean, maybe not goofy to everyone. They come up with just, you know, just a zany idea. They put it out, they take a chance on themselves, and now we're all sitting here talking about it. It's one of those things where it's super crazy. You know, that first run of that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic sold over 130,000 comic books in the first year. Generally, comic books, we're in like the height of comics now. Spider-Man is probably one of the biggest comic book sellers, as well as Batman. And to see their books nowadays cross over 130,000 copies sold is almost insane. And this is way back in 1984 where they did it, where, I mean, there was comic cons, but there wasn't social media, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't easy ways to just share ideas with people, and they were still able to attain this goal, which is super crazy, and just hats off to them. And when you do things like that, what do you think is gonna happen? Some people are gonna come with a whole bunch of money and try to say, hey, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that. And that went on for a while, but until 1988, they held off. They encountered an individual that just kind of came up with an idea that was one of those ideas that it's like, hey, if it works, then it works and we win. If it doesn't work, then, you know, I'll take the blame for it and we just dry my hands with it. And that deal was with Playmates Toys. So that was a deal for toys. We're talking about a TV show as well as potentially a movie in the future if everything went good. So from there, they were like, okay, we'll sign the deal. It was for, you know, it was multiple millions of dollars. So of course, you know, especially if you're two guys that kind of just came up with something that's working, eventually you're gonna wanna do that, you know, to take your brand to that next level. So from there, they ordered up 13 episodes of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles television program, the cartoon that we all know and love, the original. That's where we're gonna be dealing with our favorite, you know, our favorite voice actors, some of our favorite voice actors that happen to be at the con this afternoon. That's when they came in, but they had to kind of make adjustments to the Turtles because at that point, the Turtles were, it was parallel to almost like the likes of Ronin or Daredevil. It was super gritty. There was alcohol use in it at times. People were getting poked with swords and things like that. That's not too kid friendly. So they needed to tone it down, maybe more than a tad, but they had to tone it down, tone it back a little bit. And also they needed to make it a little bit more kid-friendly, and they also needed to make it a way to sell toys. So that's where we get the individual colors from the turtles. We get more highlights on the individual weaponry from them all, and a little bit more highlight on the different personalities, more, you know, not to call Disney'd up, but, you know, more kid-friendly with the dialogue. So in 1990, excuse me, so from there, they went ahead, they released those 13 episodes. They aired in October of 1988, and it was a hit. From there, they were like, all right, well, this is what we're doing now. So those started selling out. The toys started selling out. I'm not sure if any of you collect the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures. I'm a pretty big collector in those. And there's so many different characters, so many different like variances to the turtles, the backflipping turtles, the mutated turtles, detective turtles, so many different ones, so many different toys to buy. And if you were a kid then and you held on to them, you are a smart person, because nowadays you can go on the showroom floor. If you try to purchase them now, especially unpunched, things like that, you're gonna spend a lot of money. So definitely they still retain their value. They've probably even made more value. So I'd say that was a smart play on Playmate. So with the success of all that, we have the success of the television program, we have the success of the comic books, we have the success of the toy line. Of course, Hollywood's gonna wanna make a movie, right? And if it wasn't for them and all of this success, I don't know where my life would be, because as a kid, I probably watched this movie 635 times, like a rough estimate. As an adult, probably 895 times. And it's completely different when you're an adult and you watch it. You pull different things from it. And it's one of those things where your opinion on some movies may sway, things like that. But 1990, the first live action TMNT movie was made for $13.5 million, which is, you think about a budget like that, if they made a TV show for $13.5 million nowadays, you'd be like, oh, well, I guess it's all right, but they could do some more with the CG. If they made a movie with that amount of money, I watched a movie that probably had a budget around that the other night. I won't say what movie it was, but you could definitely tell that it was worth around that, especially with these big action films, the flicks that we have now, even like the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a movie with like $100 million budget, $250 million budget, you can definitely tell the difference. But they luckily had the Jim Henson Creation Studio, behind them, which, in my opinion, in the first iteration, made maybe the best puppets and costumes for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's tied for me between the first and the second movie. But for $13.5 million, their film grossed over $200 million. So they made their movies, their money back tenfold, a little bit more than that. And that's 1990 dollars. It's not 2019 dollars where, I mean, if we did the inflation, I probably should have did that. It made tons of money, probably half $1 billion. So that success, of course, spun off a bunch of things, Christmas specials, concert series, ice skating, so much stuff has spun off from it. The coming out of our shell tour that I saw, it was a fun event as a kid. You can go back and try to rewatch it now. If you're a kid, you'll probably enjoy it. If you're an adult, you might be like, wow, they definitely went for the money grab. But hey, people love the Ninja Turtles, why not try it, right? So with the success of that first movie, all these things spinning off from it, of course, the next year they're gonna come back with another film. That's when we got my childhood favorite movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. Anybody a fan of that film? No. Yeah. No. You like it? You thought it was bad?
All three movies looks goofy to me. I couldn't take them seriously.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
You're how old?
26.
26? Okay, so I mean, you're not that much younger than I am. I don't know.
I saw the first, I think I saw them all in theaters.
Yeah, like
as a kid, I mean, watching the show, just amazing seeing them.
But this was before I even watched the show. So it's like, What is this?
Going in blind.
2003's Ninja Turtles made me love Ninja Turtles.
Okay. I can go with you on that one because I really love the 2003 iteration of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles too. But I really thought the even like the animatronics that they used with the turtle's head, just how Jim Henson put it together. How I thought it looked really good for it to for puppets, and especially if you take into consideration like you have martial artists wearing like 200-pound suits, still doing flips, turtle shells on, literally in the heat of the sun. You have a helmet that has like a bunch of like robotics in it, so it can move up and down and all of that as well. From like a filmmaking perspective, and that's what I kind of appreciate more that I'm older, they put so much work in, especially for the amount of money that they were using to make the film. I give it that respect. And then even like the storyline for the first movie, in my opinion, even say they use the turtles as people, they say they're just people, it's a great film overall, in my opinion. I think just cinematography wise, how they adapted it from the comic books, how everything kind of came together overall as a comic book movie, especially adapting something from source material, I thought it was handled great. Now when it comes to Secret of the Ooze, as a kid, I really enjoyed it because it was a little more kiddie. They didn't, even like slight things, like even like the use of like Michelangelo's nunchucks, because at that time there was kind of a lot of things going on internationally where they didn't really like the nunchucks. So there's like scenes where you see him using like the sausage links and things like that. But overall, I thought the second one was good. And I mean, it has the ninja rap in it. I mean, who does not love the ninja rap? You're giving me the face like you don't love the ninja rap, man. I'm worried. Rap, he carries size. Yeah, their size are traditionally like a defensive weapon for combating people with swords. But Wrath, yes, but Wrath is kind of, he's pretty crafty with them, so he's able to work his way around and use them offensively. Yeah, he is pretty hot-headed. But that's why we love him. That's why we love him. So that movie, of course, as well, did really good. Then we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 that we didn't talk about, but we may skim over that movie. I now really enjoy time travel. I think it's maybe just like a time thing where there's so much time travel stuff going on where I kind of appreciate time travel more. So I like the movie more than I did. Yeah. I'll give you that. Some They did. And they used the scepter. The whole scepter thing was pretty cool. One pet peeve that I do have about the films, though, and it shouldn't matter, but Corey Feldman voiced, like I said before, Donatello is my favorite Ninja Turtle. Corey Feldman voiced Donatello in the first movie, but he did not voice him in the second movie for some reason. He was voiced by Adam Carl then. And not to take anything away from Corey Feldman, because I'm sure he's a really nice guy, but Adam Carl came in as Donatello and stole the show in Secret of the Ooze. And then in the third film, they brought Corey Feldman back. And I'm not sure if he like realized he made a mistake by not being in Secret of the Ooze and said, hey, let me come back in the third one. But by that time, it was like too little too late. And it's one of those things when you try to watch them all in a sequence, it's like, man, I really wish they would have just brought back Adam Carl and didn't pay Corey Feldman so much money so we could have put some more in the budget for the film. But it is what it is. It was the 90s. It was like 1993. So you're gonna go with a name like Corey Feldman there. So there's all of the success going on. Like we're talking about, we got movies, we got TV shows. They even had video games going on. Oh, so much stuff that was happening. But by that time, we get to 1996, and it was kind of time for them to take a little break, because the show had been on for so long, almost 10 years. There's so many episodes of that show Go back if you don't have them, if you don't own them. You can get them for a very reasonable price on iTunes or however you purchase your Yep, or you can, well, you definitely can watch the 2012 version, all of it, on Hulu, which is pretty... For free. As long as you have a subscription. But yes, for free. So by that time, it was time for the original show to come to an end in its 10th season. It was a sad but, you know, necessary thing. You know, things always, things always change. People grow up. There's new demographics. And the people that grew up loving the show got to that point in their life where they needed something a little bit older. So by that time they ended that show, but the name was picked up. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was picked up in 1997 by the likes of Saban. Everybody's aware of Saban, right? Any Power Rangers fans here? Right? Yeah. So Saban was like, hey, you know, we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk about it. Saban came in. They were like, "Hey, let's have a shot at this, right?" In 1997, on Fox Kids, and that's when we got The Next Mutation. Yeah, I always hear groans when I bring up The Next Mutation. Maybe I will. Who knows? I mean, it's part of the history, and it also set the groundwork for what we have now in like the IDW comics, right? Of they're not using Venus de Milo, but we get Jenica now. And it kind of like set that groundwork for, hey, maybe there can be more turtles. Maybe there's, you know, a way to bring in a turtle of, you know, a different background, of a different a gender to come in and kind of bring a different perspective to being a turtle. What was that?
How much do you think those are?
The Next Mutation action figures? I'm not sure. Sure. I mean, I'll take them. If you have Raph with his size, when I was in the third grade, I brought him to school, and my size got confiscated by my principal, and I never got them back. So if you do have them, I will buy them from you, because it's one of those things where, like, I'll never let it go. They tried it. It only lasted for a season. We got The Next Mutation. We got Venus de Milo, which, like I said, set groundwork for where we are now to be able to, yeah, actually bring in a female Ninja Turtle. You know, there's always going to be controversy when they make moves like that, but I think it's a good move. It's another way to kind of, kind of have more people be able to relate to the turtles. Although, you know, you could always say, hey, they're turtles. I could relate to a turtle, even if it's a guy, but you know, it's always good to kind of expand, and it's nice to see the universe kind of building on itself, especially the stories that they've been going with in those comics. They've been really good. One good thing that I will say about The Next Mutation, they did a collaboration with the Power Rangers, and I grew up loving the Power Rangers too, so I mean, we'll give them that, right? We'll give them that. We got to see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles team up and go against the Power Rangers, which was pretty awesome. So yeah, from that point on, we roll into the 2000s. That's where I was, you know, starting to get my teen angst. And at that point in time, you know, it was 2000, Kevin Eastman. You know, he's worked with the Turtles for so long. He sold his ownership completely to Peter Laird and Mirage Studios. You know, sometimes especially when you make a bunch of money and you go on this path that you never expected to be on, after a long period of time, you could be like, hey, I had other dreams that I wanted to accomplish, other things that I wanted to do. So I fully understand why he would make a move like that. From some of the things that happened later on with the property, he may have been upset about how early you decided to pull out. You know, if you care about numbers, if not, then, you know, it is what it is. So after that, 2003, that's when we get a new iteration of the TMNT in cartoon form. A lot of people like this iteration too, as well, because, you know, it was a little bit darker of a tone, not as light as the 80s tone, which, you know, we know and we love, of course, but for people that were growing up with the Turtles, it was nice to have that iteration come in as well, to kind of like be angsty when we wanted to be angsty as well. I remember like Saturday mornings as a kid, like, yes, I'm like, I'm in like seventh grade or 2003, I'm in like eighth grade in 2003, and I'm like watching the Ninja Turtles, and I'm just like, man, I don't like what's going on at school. I'm watching Ninja Turtles on Saturday morning to kind of like get myself out of that element. So that ran for six seasons until 2009. And we also got that full length TV movie, Turtles Forever. Anybody see Turtles Forever?
Yes.
The nice collaboration going on with that. Yes.
Nothing but great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great movie. And you can get it for like 10 bucks, I think. So, I mean, if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend checking it out. Anything that happens with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I'm always saying like, just go back, do your history, read the comic books. Even the Archie comics are really, really cool. It's one of those things where, you know, it's been so long. We're looking at 35 years of, you know, different movies. After that, we end up with the 2007 TMNT movie. I'm not sure how you guys feel about that. In my opinion, I kind of like that worse than TMNT 3, but that's just my opinion. I'm just me. But we do get the 2014 iteration, which I really enjoyed. Live action movies they cost $125 million to make. They made $500 million off the first one. They made double that for the second film. So we got Casey Jones in the second film, Stephen Amell of Arrow fame. I'm not sure if any of you are excited and sad for the last season of Arrow that's about to happen, but it is what it is. So they've made so much money. So many lives have been touched. So many lives have been changed. I know for a fact my life has been changed by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it looks like that's where we are, man. I appreciate everybody that listen to my spiel. I hope you learned something about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you haven't, maybe you'll learn a little bit more, because like I told you, I do have a surprise. So if you would just... How's it going, guys?
Good.
I definitely appreciate you joining me.
Sure.
All right, so...
Cowabunga! I gotta go fix the turtle then. It's busted again.
I gotta get a job.
Hey, buddy, what's your name?
Corey,
yes.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having us, buddy.
Of course. I'm glad you
guys
crashed your gig.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys come. So, like I said, if you guys can make it through my spiel, and we'll have a special surprise for you guys, and they're here.
Hello. Hello, and we get to be the surprise.
Wow. Surprise?
Yes, you're the surprise.
You're the hardcore. You're the hardcore
fans. Real
fans.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
next
we'll leave,
time.
And we'll bring pizza.
Yeah.
Anchovy and hot fudge.
Yeah, man.
With gummies, totally.
You name it.
And licorice.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, I'll let a few of you guys ask a couple questions, but before I get into that, I want to know how it feels for you guys to have been a part of this franchise. We're looking at 35 years.
It is such a drag. Yeah,
isn't
it?
It's possibly sad. Honestly, we talk about this every time we get a chance to, thanks, buddy. Every time we get a chance to be together, which is unfortunately rare, we are reminded of not only how much we really love being together, but my God, I think Townsend said it earlier, the fact that we got to work on something that was a clean sheet of paper, and then we all were fortunate enough to have careers and did other things, and now, 30 years later, we come back and we saw these people like you guys with your children, and it's mind-blowing. And the art that we see at these events that have inspired people your age, many people who were not around when the Turtle comic came out, the series, and I think it just speaks so highly of the power of this franchise that it inspires so many artists to do remarkably interesting stuff. that didn't look anything like when we started. And I love that because it just shows that it's just inspirational. So, yeah, that's a big deal to us.
Yeah. So, Corey, how did we change the world?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the sign says we changed the world.
Yes, you definitely changed the world.
I can't change my shoes, bro.
So, for one, I mean, Michelangelo kind of changed how people approached different weaponry or different items that he carried. As you can see, like in certain parts of the world, or even like certain words like ninja for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, hero's not a bad title at all. I think that's a good one. But it kind of, culture just shifted, in my opinion, because the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was such a big franchise, such a big thing that happened so fast. I don't feel like culture was really ready for it, and so many things happened so quick. And, you know, when you're affecting children, there's always going to be like, oh, man, like the parents, we don't ever catch it. I have two kids. I have a 5-year-old and I have a freshly 8-month
Congratulations.
Old. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And the 8-month-old, which is their favorite turtle?
His favorite turtle, from his expressions that he makes, his laughter, he really likes Michelangelo.
Yeah. All right, dude, good answer.
Yeah, but it was nuts, especially me being a kid, because I was born in the late 80s, so my entire life, this is all I really knew. I just grew up watching the Ninja Turtles, watching the cartoons, putting in my VHS cassettes into my VCR, just playing it through, rewinding it, playing it through. I don't know how many times I've seen the shutters been splintered. So it's one of those things where, like I was saying, parents, they don't catch things right away, right? And with that, even like governments or whatever it may be, not even necessarily governments, but just culture in general, they don't see things happen sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And then we come in with this wave. Of course, people were doing like karate and things like that at that time, but it was more of like a older kid thing. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, like I mentioned in the panel, like me and my brother, I'm 5 years old, we're sparring in my basement. I don't know karate. I'm definitely not a ninja, but we're definitely fighting in the basement. It's not like, you know, we were doing anything crazy, but there is always one of those things where someone could potentially get hurt. But even with that, especially having older brothers, it was one of those things where the Ninja Turtles, I would want to like be tough and I would fight back against my brothers, but it also gave me that drive to like fight back against my brothers. I could have been the little brother that just got bullied by his two older brothers, but I was like, hey, I'm not just going to be bullied. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like...
Taught you how to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things, or even stand up for other people, you know, going through elementary school or middle school, high school, things like that. Just remembering like what I've watched, what I learned, the different stories and storylines that took place, and seeing kids that, you know, may have not been the coolest kid. I was pretty good at being like incognito and like slipping through the cracks and not like...
Yeah.
Allowing people to know how big of a nerd I really was until they like came to my house and saw my computers, my comic books and video games and all that stuff. So for me, it was one of those things where it's like, man, I can't just allow, you know, people to get picked on. It doesn't matter if people don't have friends. It doesn't matter what people look like, any of that stuff. If anybody's going to be picked on, you know, I'm going to stand up for them. I don't want to fight if I don't have to, but I definitely am going to, you know, stand up for people. And it's one of the stories that now having that instilled in me, I pass that on to my kids. I watch, you know, the episodes that I learned the most from, or even, honestly, I just play all the episodes because you can learn so much from all of them with my kids. And it's one of those things where it's nice to have something that's wholesome, but also instill so many good lessons into you, be able to pass it down for so many generations, you know?
Thank you.
It's nice to have the new iterations. I love all of the new shows. Rise is so awesome. I love the 2012 iteration. But it's nice to even go back to my childhood and be able to show it and then still see their eyes light up and still see them receive it the same way that I received it.
That's great.
That's the thing. That happens a lot. We have a lot of people like Corey and your children that we get to share this stuff with, man. That's a big deal when you can see the multi-generational impact of this show. It's crazy. And it honestly doesn't show any signs of slowing down, man. It's crazy. Do you want to have people ask any questions, or do you have an agenda that you'd like to...
Yeah, if anyone has any questions, you can go ahead and shout them out, and we'll Have you guys? We'll get some answers for you guys.
Anybody have a question? Like something like, are you finally going to shut up and leave, Rob, or something like that?
So they can get on with the real stuff.
Yeah.
I have a question. I just want to say thanks for coming.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Man.
That's wonderful. No, yes, ma'am.
Why? Because it's delicious, of course. I just like pizza. I don't care what's on it. I'll eat anything.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Does pineapple belong
to you? No.
Yes.
Well, no. No.
No.
That's the obvious answer. No, dude.
My wife loves pineapple on a pizza. No.
I actually had somebody...
As the leader of the turtles, I say pineapple stays.
So I had somebody come up to my table today and say that her, it was a young gal, it's saying that her favorite pizza had just pineapple on it.
Oh, no.
I'm like, whoa, not only is pineapple not belong on pizza, but just pineapple? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
I like pineapple pizza.
Good.
Oh, okay.
It's your world, honey. We just live in it. Anybody else have a question? Yes, sir.
I've always been really interested in voice acting, you know. I've been following a lot of voice actors' careers for a long time. I realized that definitely started before you.
Oh.
Your names have been in my mind since I was like 4 years old.
My God.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
When you hear in other things, I'm always like, wait. Is that Cam Clark?
And then you
and then we said, no.
I can do better than that.
Thank you.
That is a
thanks, buddy.
Profoundly kind sentiment. Thank you, sir.
You, sir, in the white and red?
Yeah. So with what you guys did with the original TV show, the cartoon, Corey touched base about how it had to be changed a little bit, more kid-friendly versus how the old school comic books were with the turtles. What do each of you feel like you love your characters that is still carrying on with the characters today? Like your own personal thumbprint that you took and you put into that character that caught on so good and
what a great question.
Yeah.
Great question. I think that what has worked over time for me is the fact, and we talked about this a little bit in our own panel, is the fact that the characters that we created were very distinct. They were very separated. And they all had character traits of their own. They were very recognizable on their own. There have been a couple of iterations where I think that separation has been less. And then there have been iterations that have had the same separation. And when that separation happens, and I'm thinking of 2012.
Yeah.
When that separation happens, it works better. Mm-hmm. Because then we're a team, but we're also very individualized. And a couple of the early movies and stuff that I can recall, or maybe it was the first computer generated, whatever, they kind of started to homogenize. They all became sort of surfer dudes.
Yeah.
You know, and we were not. We each had, you know, our characters. And I liked that. And I think that that's why when people come up and say, we liked that original cartoon, yes, it was more kid-friendly. So we did have to do that. But I think the separation made it work.
Okay. I also think that part of that separation that was helpful early on. Is that separation? What it gave kids is a choice of four different personalities that they could sort of pick and choose which they related to the most, and so gave kids really something to hang on to. Maybe they didn't like the other three so much, but they liked one a lot. And for whatever reason, they connected with that. So I think that separation that Barry was just talking about is one of the things that made our original series so popular with kids, because it gave them really a hook, something that they could hang on to.
Great point.
I would also add, speaking of the animation itself, something that I think is kind of interesting. You know, you look at the four kids from Scooby-Doo or the Archies or what was Bill Cosby's?
Fat Albert.
Fat Albert. Mm-hmm. All interestingly, distinctly designed, except for the color of our masks.
Yeah.
It was the same drawing.
Right. That's right.
So I don't even really totally know where I'm going with this other than to say the scripts, you were still able to have a favorite based on the character's profile, the character's dialogue, the manner of speaking, because you couldn't say the blonde one or the black one or the chubby one or the skinny one or whatever. So that's kind of just a fascinating little musing I had at looking at the pictures that have come over our table signing autographs. I'm going, well, without the mask, well, and the weapons.
The masks still, and the weapons.
The critters, the creatures, the titles were the same drawing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there.
Thank you. Great question.
Except for when they started to draw Donnie with a missing tooth.
What was that?
I know.
I don't know when.
All of a sudden, my version of Donatello had, you could drive a Buick through the front thing in my teeth.
Yeah, I think Bebop knocked it out.
That's great. By the way, you guys did know that Barry is Bebop as well, and Cam is Rocksteady as well. Yeah. Oh, yeah, why not?
I like it. She's snapping in the back. Daddy-o. Are you a neutrino?
The hipster in the back. I love that.
What's a hipster? With the inception of the TV show, they had to sanitize the characters a bit because of how maybe it's comics where you're darker.
Your question is about that because the comic book was darker and more sort of adult oriented, do we have to modify our performances at all with respect to being a kid show? I don't know that any of us were particularly familiar with the comic book.
Particularly? Yeah. How about at all?
I'd heard of it. And so I remember when Townsend and I were working together on another show, and we were asked or told that we were going to be called into audition for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'd vaguely heard of it, but it was still kind of, oh, that sounds wacky. Why not? Yeah. I didn't have to, because I had no sort of preconceived ideas of what Raphael should be. In the comic book, Raphael was an assassin, which is kind of cool, you know, in terms of...
You say now.
Now, because, you know, I cut it otherwise... unimposing swath. So, but in terms of the show, no, it was getting a chance to work with three other guys. Townsend and I knew each other. I think Cam and I did, but we became obviously lifelong friends. But I don't recall having to manipulate or modify my performance at all vis-a-vis the original idea from the comic book.
Yeah, and the scripts were, yes, they were... They were not as dark, but I
they were hip.
I mean, I don't know about kid friendly. That's where I was going to go. Yeah. The scripts were pretty sharp.
Yeah.
We had to raise our voices because we were all playing 17 or whatever, you know, the age of the turtles were, because we were teenage mutant ninja turtles. But so we did that, but we were never conscious that we were doing a kid show somehow. We just wanted to do a fun show that worked, and it seemed to work for kids. And then their parents, they used to come up and say, well, I watched this with my parents.
Yeah.
So, and now parents are watching it with their kids. So it didn't seem, we never dumbed down our performance.
Hey, Donatello, your machine isn't working. Break it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hold your cord, as it were.
I don't need it anyway. But that's how I felt. I mean, we just performed it, but we never said, oh, well, this is for little kids and we've got to do a kid show. Never thought that way.
No, in fact, like Barry said about, yeah, I watch it with my kids. Now, even though we've had, what, three or four iterations of the show that are available for everyone to watch, the numbers of adults and children we see who come in and say, oh my God, my kids watched the 2012 show, but you know, they really like the original one, and that makes me happy, and it's nostalgic, and the kids get the same. You do what all parents love to do, is get a chance to see the things you were very precious to you through your child's eyes. It's a remarkable thing. So I'm glad that we didn't change anything. It was a gas. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
How were you aware of the television shows that came afterwards that seemed to borrow so much?
Oh, dude. I was in a show called Biker Mice from Mars, which was an unabashed knockoff of Ninja Turtles. In fact, the producer, creator, Rick Unger, when I got the job, he said, well, we figured we'd have you on because if we're as, what do you say, but if we're 1/10 as successful as Ninja Turtles, then I can retire. You know, because it was, instead of four turtles, it was three mice, and we liked hot dogs. We lived in Chicago, and it was a, by the producer's own admission, an unabashed knockoff of Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
Awesome.
How many what?
Knockoffs of any of your words that you worked on.
I'm sorry, how many what? I mean, knockoffs. Oh, knockoffs? Any other words that you worked on. About turtles?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. I mean, I'm sure there are others. I can't think of any that were very clear knockoffs of the turtles, but.
But you've worked on three iterations.
Yeah, I have worked on. I have done. Oh, I'm sorry. I see. That's it. Thank you. That's why you're the smart one. Yeah, Raphael with these boys. Donatello in the 2012 series, and now I direct Rise of the TMNT. But, oh, thanks.
He's the director now.
I know.
Exactly,
and
man.
The
exactly.
Director and $4 will get you a cup of coffee, son. But it is, honestly, all of us, I said this yesterday at our panel, and we all echo this sentiment. We know. We utterly understand how really lucky we are to be in this position. And it is not hyperbole to say that it's because of you guys. You know, we all obviously need an audience. But the audience for this show, for this franchise, is so dedicated and so ardent. And the things we hear every time we do one of these shows literally bring us to tears in the most glorious way. Things we hear about, I mean, I don't even, you guys know, that we never would have known were it not for the kindness of you to come out and tell us. It's mind-blowing that how this franchise has affected millions in such a positive way. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that said, I definitely appreciate you guys joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
We got to wrap up the panel here. I think we've gone a little bit over.
Oh, but,
thank you, sir. Of course. Pleasure. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Turtle power.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
One,
two,
three.
Oh, turtle power!
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Corey.
Yes, no problem.
Hey, let's get another round of applause for the original voice cast of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yo.
Yeah.
Good job, dude.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Ah, it's a pleasure.
Of course.
For having us on your show.
Yes, of course.
Corey Corner.
Corey's Cowabunga Corner.
Corey's Cowabunga
Corner. Corey Bunga's Corner.
Yes.
Corey Bunga.
Yes, I like it.
Corey Bungalow. Corey's Bungalow.
I really, really great to meet him.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hopefully you come back next year to do more.
I'll see what I can do.
Are you on pretty much on social media at all?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Corey Elijah or my YouTube channel, the same title.
I'm always looking for more fans of
Of course.
We do TMNT content.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So, So Corey is K-O-E-R-R-I.
K-O-E-R-R-I.
I. Yes. Yep. That is it.
Awesome. It was really awesome.
Nice. Hey, I appreciate that, man.
I will definitely call you on YouTube too.
Okay. Hey, man, I appreciate it. I'm glad you stopped in. Oh yeah, of course. Well, hopefully we'll be back, and you know.
Shake your hand in front of the guy that's been in business. I got a question.
Yeah.
I'm an action figure guy just like you with the whole magnet figure. Why was the Scratch character so rare to find? Scratch? Like the cat, the Gilbert?
Because there were so many characters that were just like one shots.
Yeah, that's it.
So it was like
Night of the Rogues, there's only one Scumbag, one Mutant Man right. episode, there was only one.
So it was like limited runs, yeah. I feel like they were.
I need a Scratch. The only ones I don't have is Scratch and Irma.
Oh wow.
And everything else I have a bajillion of them though, because I have lots of like memorabilia shots in Chicago and I got really good victory. I was wondering that though. Mm. You know, there was only like one episode for like each.
Yeah.
Chrome Dome, Jiman, Triceraton. Yeah.
And the only thing that I could think it would be is just like a Playmates play.
Yeah.
To kind of just always have new figures generating, always to, you know, to build that demand as well, you know. So, yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, hey, I definitely nice appreciate talking. You stopping by, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be here until the end of the con.
I'll call the hall quick.
Okay.
I'll pick up something.
All right, cool. Yeah, just shoot me a text or whatnot.
I'll be on. Cosplay this year? You gonna show?
Ooh, yeah, I'll stop by. I'm staying until the end of the con.
You're not staying
tonight,
are you?
No, I'm gonna drive back after the con's over.
Got it, quick, I'll catch up with
you. All right, cool.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Oh, thanks, I appreciate that.
Yeah, following you?
Yes. So Corey Elijah. So KOERRI. And then
okay. Was it fun having you for this?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was one of those. Yeah, I hit follow too. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was one of those things where I got contacted. I got contacted about the panel, and I'm like, oh yeah, of course I'll come down for the panel. And then like a couple days ago, they were like, so potentially they want to talk to you, so if you can stop by and talk to them, see if maybe they can come in at some point. I was like, yeah, of course. Like, why would I say no to that? So yeah, so it was like from there, I just got like super flustered, but I was able to kind of work my way through it. Yeah.
No, I appreciate how. I find it intriguing to see generational and then cultural, like how it comes into playing field.
Yeah.
As far as like, because I wasn't like a super fan, but my cousins were, and they were with these Catcher Boys that like in the middle of nowhere, and then I went to college, and then all my friends from different cities were like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And there's so interlinking of our childhood of that time to the.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, amazing. Is it? Amazing, 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 amazing. Honestly, I didn't know. Like, I read the comic books, and I really enjoyed the comic books, but I didn't know how they pull it off. And like,
an hour and 15 minutes. Could be on
the cartoon for us, but amazing. Them and their
generation is not so amazing. They're hard to watch, but they're just smoother, faster. Right. Like, worse than. I'm like waiting for the right time for us to watch.
So the only thing that I will say is it gets a little.
I'll
get
that flinger.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome.
Nice
to meet
you. Yeah, thanks for coming in.
It gets, and so it's not like,
it's not like gory.
Oh,
it's
for sure.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so, all right,
for sure.
You see Deadpool 2.
Oh, all
right. There, right there. Then it's awesome. It's amazing.
Yeah. There's so many like little Easter eggs and things, like even like some of the vehicles that they have, right. Some of like even like the screen capturings that they do is just like pulled right from some of your friends, some of your favorite iterations.
So I do have all the original uncarded.
Oh wow.
I
do have the Savage Dragon ones, and then I do have some of the new mutation ones. And then when the 2003 came out, I bought her and April and him a Michelangelo. I felt like I had the generation.
Oh, that's awesome.
What I did not get into was the 2012 one. I didn't purchase any of those. Maybe you probably should have, because I had the whole generation thing going, but I wasn't a big fan. I'm really into balls.
Definitely understandable.
All right, I will stop wasting your time.
You're not wasting my time.
Thank you for stopping by. I'm
trying not to talk too much.
It's one of those things, especially
when a situation like that happens. It's just like, oh man, I'm sure a lot more people had questions, but when I found out that it was going to happen, like, I kind of froze up. So I was like, oh man, for real? Like, they really want to come in my panel? Like, okay, for sure.
They kind of were, like, almost hinting to it, though, and that's kind of why we came, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I had a feeling they were coming.
Oh, no, they're kind of getting to it. Oh, that's good, right? Yeah, like, I found out,
I mean, I don't know. Like, how much questions can we ask? It really the lighthearted version of the Turtles.
Right.
What do you really say to them?
Right.
It was really a big part of my childhood, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so lighthearted.
Right. Exactly.
It inspired me to go off and do
that. All right, man. Good job.
Yeah, nice meeting you. You have a good one. Enjoy the rest of the con.